Why not join Joan Lewis as she takes a look for us at some of the appointments on Pope Benedict XVI's schedule this past week? We can describe it as a very young week for the Pope.
Yeah,
he was
exactly
following the trends of new generations, wasn't he?
New generations, both of people and technology, because in many, many ways, the week here was more focused on Vatican activities, not necessarily the Pope at the center, except for two big events. One, of course, was the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, June 29th, which was also the 60th anniversary of his ordination as a priest, and also of his brother. And his brother, Monsignor Georg, came down to Roma, I think it was last week, for this celebration, and I'm sure he will, as is traditional, be spending at least a month of the summertime with his brother at Casta Gandolfo. But anyway, the digital age the Pope has fully entered into with a papal tweet. And on the 28th, Vespers, the vigil of the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, in his library, I guess, or his office, Pope Benedict became the first pope in the history of the Church. Of course, we never had this technology before, to send a tweet. And he wrote in that pontifical tweet, "Dear friends, I have just launched www.news.va. Praised be our Lord Jesus Christ. With my prayers and blessing, Benedictus the 16th." And the previous day, there had been a presentation in the press office of this new Vatican website, news.va.
Which, and you, by the way, Joan, we've been feeding into as Vatican Radio.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's all of the Vatican. When it was presented Monday, Archbishop Celi, head of social communications, was very clear to state that what this was this was not a news-making service. This was a news-gathering service and an aggregation, as he called it, of all of the Vatican communications offices. So very obviously Vatican Radio, Vatican Television, the press office, and Vatican Information Service, as well as Fides, which is a news agency of the Congregation for Evangelization. There are videos. You can get video on demand. They're streaming live when it exists. Audio, exactly what is happening at the moment, if that's the case, or archives, newspaper articles, there's photos, there's video. All of it is there. And you can access a lot of things and share a lot of these things with Facebook and with Twitter. So
at the moment, it's just in English and Italian.
English and Italian, exactly. And they're working on setting up an archives. Right now, the news will stay on for 5 days. It is updated 3 times a day, whether it's a video or whether it's a written article. And then the news is also divided into segments. You have the Pope, the Roman Curia, the world, and the church in the world. And as I said, there's video and audio, live streaming, and on demand. And I know one of the journalists asked about, oh my gosh, what's the size of the server, or something like that. And actually, Father Lombardi, who was at the press conference and obviously heads Vatican Radio and TV as well, he spoke about the high-end flexible platform that can serve millions of users simultaneously. Because, of course, the question was, how many people can go on the site. They did the beatification without any problems. So there's very, very good servers here. And Father Lombardi said the next big test, of course, would be World Youth Day in Madrid. And there's a lot of things already on news.va about World Youth Day. And you can either go to news.va, just www.news.va, or if you're already on the Vatican website, which we want to stress to people is always going to be there, that one, news.va is what it says. It is a news gathering service. The other is the documentation center and service of the Vatican. So Vatican.va remains. When you click on that, the upper right-hand corner, you will see a tab that says news.va, so you can enter into that. So anyway, we had the Pope sitting at his desk with a tablet in front of him. Some people have written an iPad. I do not know for sure if that's the brand. It certainly is the most popular one. And it was very interesting in making the proposal to the Holy Father, Archbishop Celli, because this was his idea. He said the Pope accepted
the Council for Social Communications.
Okay. And he said the Pope accepted immediately and willingly. And he said, as you know, and he's said this a number of times in recent meetings, Archbishop Celli has, about how important communications were for John Paul and how very much Benedict XVI continues that interest. And he is interested in all of the new technologies. Whether he sits at a desk and a computer every day and uses all this, I sincerely doubt.
That's not true.
Yes, exactly. Will he use it on occasion? Will he do the papal tweet? Of course he will once it's been explained to him. He's not going to spend an hour, each day on this electronic media. We know he loves to write by hand. That's how he thinks best. That's how he composes best. So he writes in his native German and longhand. But it's interesting. Archbishop Celli said in a comment to Osservatore Romano after the Pope, or as the Pope was doing his tweet, he noticed that 80 years ago, on February 12th, 1931, that Pius XI inaugurated Vatican Radio. And look where we've come. Celli said, times and technology have changed, but the message has not. And the idea of a digital era that we're living in also came up at the presentation of World Youth Day
in Madrid.
Yes. And
in August,
the 16th through the 21st, Pope Benedict will be traveling there. A very big news conference was held this week. Lots of details, lots of information. 440,000 young people have registered so far. There's 14,000 priests that have registered, bringing groups. There's going to be well over 700 bishops, 260 of whom will be offering catechesis over a three-day period in 30 languages. 260 different sites throughout the city, sites and times, and catechesis in 30 languages. So Cardinal Rilko, who heads the Council for Laity, which arranges these days, said that this was going to be a true Pentecost when you think of all of the different languages. So a fairly extensive program was given, and there is huge use of the digital media. Well, obviously, just the online site, people registering. So this
makes things easier for people, doesn't it?
Oh, sure it will. It'll be a digital digital youth. When you look back to when John Paul started this whole thing, in 1985, and by the way, of course, John Paul will now be one of the patrons of World Youth, except that he's blessed John Paul for this work. So he's the patron and the protector. Exactly. And interestingly enough, World Youth Day has gotten, Iago della Sierva, who's the executive director, said that they've gotten a lot of help from the government, both local and federal. Not financial, he was very clear on that, but helping with other things, for example, making it easy for people to come in who would normally need visas. They have helped them expand the land where some of the sites will be, the papal sites will be. So logistics and things like that, for sure. And promises to be a wonderful youth day. They seem to have put an enormous amount of energy, talent, innovation into this Madrid World Youth Day. Now, the figure, by the way, interestingly enough, that 440,000 registered so far, I think that was the morning of the press conference. Traditionally, so many people register late. Oh, I think I'll go. Or they get a birthday gift from somebody in June or July. That actually, very often, the final numbers end up being four times what the registration number is, three to four times what the registration number is a couple months beforehand. And then you can have people that just might come into town, day people who live near Madrid. So a very exciting event. And
John, let's not forget what happened on Wednesday.
Oh, then. How can we? That was absolutely a beautiful, memorable day, we said at the beginning
of
the show. Saints Peter and Paul, patrons of Rome. And as we said at the top of the show, with the Pope's 60th anniversary of his ordination, and June 29th, he traditionally gives the pallium to new metropolitan archbishops. 41 received it from his hands during a very beautiful but a very long Mass in St. Peter's. It was just a few minutes under 3 hours. But what was so wonderful was the Pope's homily. concentrated almost entirely on his 60 years as a priest. Very touching, this man who went back in his mind's eye 60 years to the day he and his brother were ordained. The Pope talked at great length about the awesomeness of being a priest, what the Lord entrusts you with. He said the Lord, with the words that he heard at his ordination, no longer servants but friends, which are Jesus's words, by the way. He said, I knew those were not just any biblical words. I knew the Lord was talking to me in a personal way and granting me the almost frightening faculty to do what only he, the Son of God, can legitimately say and do, I forgive your sins. And the Pope talked about that. The Lord entrusts to me the words of consecration. He entrusts me to proclaim his word. He entrusts himself to me. I mean, how can you not be moved by those words? Something that we hear a lot in papal talks, and it's very much especially to young people, and I think we're going to hear it in Madrid. The Pope talks about a friendship with Jesus. This is what has permeated his entire life. This is the one constant factor of his existence as a person and certainly as a priest. And he's always telling young people, seek this friendship, build on it, make it grow, make Jesus and this friendship the center of your lives as well, no matter what you do. So a very wonderful day, a happy day for a lot of new archbishops and
received by Pope Benedict
on Thursday, exactly, and celebrations continue. Pilgrimage groups have come in from, obviously, to accompany the archbishops. Oh, the four Americans come from Los Angeles, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Seattle.
Thanks so much, Joan.
See you next week.